All right, so this morning, we're going to continue in the series that we've been running with and of exploring this topic of how do we live by the Spirit or walk in the Spirit. And we started Romans chapter 8 last week. And as I've been sort of going through that chapter of Romans, what I'm realizing is that there's so much that's compacted within that chapter that there's no way to do it just in one or two messages. And so this is going to be sort of the middle section of Romans chapter 8. And then the next time that I preach, we'll do the very end of Romans chapter 8. And so if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Romans chapter 8, and we're going to start in verse 12. And it really picks up where we left off last week. So Romans 8:12 says this: "So then, brothers and sisters, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you are living in accord with the flesh, you are going to die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live." And so ultimately, you and I, we are under no obligation to live according to the flesh. You don't have to. You could choose to continue to live according to the flesh. And the enemy will try to convince you that you're trapped, like you have to, but it's a lie. It really is. "By the Spirit and with divine empowerment, we put to death the deeds of the body." It's by His grace that allows you to say, "I'm not under obligation that anymore. I can choose a different way." And that's the reality. The result of choosing the Spirit and walking with the Spirit in this way is we get a greater measure of the fullness of what Jesus paid for. And that's God's heart for us. So I think it's the last part of Romans 8 that really talks about this question of, are you under the flesh or not? And to settle it once and for all, you are not required to live according to the flesh. You can choose it, but you don't have to. God made another way that you can be above that sinful lifestyle. You just don't have to, by His grace and by His power. Verse 14 says this: "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons and daughters of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons and daughters, by which we cry out, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him." So we're led by the Spirit. If you've said yes to Jesus, you've invited Him into your heart, He's your Savior and your Lord, as you hear the sound of my voice, you're a son or daughter of the living God. You're free from fear. It has no authority over you anymore. It has no power over you anymore. And through the Spirit of adoption, like you've been adopted, we did our encounter service a week ago yesterday, right? And we looked at the vine and the branches. We looked at that picture of being grafted in. And what does that really mean? And the reality in terms of the adoption language is that your heavenly Father says this of you, that you're wanted. He really wants you. You're accepted just as you are. He receives you. You're chosen. You're not just like way down on the list. You're like the prime possession. He says, "I want that one." Right? He's picking His team, and it's amazing that every single person is first. Right? Have you ever been standing in the line in the playground and you're like the last one picked? Right? God doesn't have any last ones picked. You're first. You're chosen by Him. And you're celebrated by Him. We've already talked about that this morning. When He looks at you, He celebrates. Lisa, she often preaches this message that God is not a father who is looking to catch you in making a mistake. That's not what He's looking for. He's looking for every opportunity that He can celebrate you. Because He champions you. And so when you say yes to the good thing, he roars, like heaven roars over you. And when you say no, or you go in an opposite direction, his heart grieves, and yet he doesn't look upon you in a different way. He still loves you. He's with you. He's for you. He fights on your behalf. That's our Heavenly Father. We can call him Daddy. Right? It's a term of affection. In the scripture, it says Abba, which means Daddy. Right? He's not looking to be aloof or reserved or way up high. He wants to be really close to us. That kind of a father figure. I love it how the scripture says that the Holy Spirit testifies about you. You can put your name in there. He testifies that you are a child of God. He testifies that you are an heir of God or a co-heir with Christ. And he ministers to your spirit to reveal to you the truth of that. One of the things that we're learning is that he's giving us increased revelation of what that is, how that's really true, right? Because if we can actually get it to the core of who we are, we'll live differently. If we truly see ourselves as children of God, if we truly see ourselves as co-heirs with Christ, we will live with a greater measure of confidence and authority that he's actually given to us. This is who you are. As a follower of Jesus, we're promised some things. We're promised life. We're promised joy, peace, love, hope, power, authority, wisdom. And as a follower of Jesus, we're also promised by Jesus that we will be treated like Jesus. We don't look at that very often. But in John 15, he says, no servant is greater than his master. He's talking to his disciples. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. And if they obeyed my teaching, then they will obey yours also. He spells it clear that part of following Jesus, in the midst of all of the accolades of joy, peace, hope, wisdom, all that stuff that we can get, we also will have suffering in our lives. We'll have persecution for identifying ourselves as followers of him. So we're never surprised by opposition, or never should be surprised by suffering or persecution when we host his presence and step out to advance his kingdom, because he said it would happen, right? I think of Paul. Paul, he experienced such highs in the kingdom, and he also experienced so much suffering on behalf of his efforts to advance the kingdom of God. And what he did through it all is he kept his eyes on the prize, right? He walked through it. He never wavered, seemingly. At least we don't see it in the scriptures. But he knew that part of the reality of saying yes to Jesus and accepting the call on his life is that it would include suffering. Paul also experienced all these other things. Fullness of life and joy and peace and love and hope. Power, he had some power. Authority, wisdom, right? Suffering and persecution is just another piece. We hold on to the truth that God's always with us to lead us and guide us. So even if you're in a season right now where you feel like, man, I am going through a lot of persecution, or I'm experiencing a lot of suffering, part of what helped Paul was he kept his eyes on the Lord, that he was with him, he was for him. He would make a way to lead him through. God is always for us, and he's faithful to empower us to keep moving forward. Where we get in trouble, I think, is when we stop. When we set up camp and we say, I'm not going anymore. Because this is too hard. This is too painful. This is not right. And we start pulling away from the Lord and we say, I'm done. And the Lord waits because he's good and he's patient, he's kind and he's loving. But you can't move forward. You can't keep moving forward if you decide, I'm not going to keep going with him, because he's headed in a direction and he has a call for your life. Every single person who hears my voice, whether you're here in person or on the podcast, there's a call for you. There's a reason why you were created. And the Lord is trying to lead you into that more and more. And sometimes we get disappointed, right? And it's a struggle. And so he is willing to work with us. Ultimately, the goal is to get to a place to receive that peace that passes understanding, to be able to keep walking and moving forward. And that's what I see with Paul. Verse 18 says this, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that's to be revealed to us. For the eagerly awaiting creation waits for the revealing of the sons and daughters of God." So all creation waits for the revealing of the sons and daughters of God. Who are the sons and daughters of God? You, me, right? Right? It's waiting for you. It's waiting for me. Waiting for what? Because we reveal more and more of his glory as we host his presence and walk in the Spirit. All creation is waiting for us to step into the greater measures that he has for us for such a time as this. This season, that's who you are. That's really good news. Verse 20 says, "For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only that, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons and daughters, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, through perseverance we wait eagerly for it." So in hope we've been saved. It's true for every believer. And we have the first fruits of the Spirit. The measure of the Spirit that you're hosting and experience, it's like the first fruits of the Spirit. It's not the whole package, right? We're not fully experiencing everything that we're meant to experience, but we have first fruits. We continue holding on to hope for the completion or the fulfillment of the promise. Every single one of us, we're holding on to hope for the more. Nothing less than Jesus paid for. That's like one of the slogans of our house, right? We're going to keep holding on. And we wait eagerly. And notice waiting eagerly isn't waiting passively. We're not just waiting and saying, "Okay, God, if you want to, do it." No, we're waiting eagerly, pressing in for the more with a confidence and an expectancy that the God who spoke it here, the God who started the process, is going to complete it to the fulfillment of what he has in his heart for every single one of us, right? And it's fully for you, and it's fully for me, and it's also fully for every single person in your sphere of influence, right? Verse 26 says, "Now in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." So the Holy Spirit, he helps us in our weakness. Have you ever experienced a season or a period or a moment of weakness? I have. We don't know what to pray. Like, we often will pray something, but so often we're faced with situations in our lives where we really don't know what to pray. The promise from this scripture is that the Spirit will intercede for us according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit does know what to pray. He knows everything about the situation you're facing. He knows all the backstory. He knows the future. He knows it all. He knows exactly what it would look like to intercede or pray in this situation. He also knows your heart, right? Sometimes we get in trouble as we pray because we pray out of our heart, which sometimes isn't in alignment with the kingdom, because we have our own desires of what we think it should look like or how it should go, right? And yet the reality is that our Heavenly Father has a purpose and an agenda. And so I think the key in this scripture is, will we align ourselves with the Holy Spirit? Will we allow him to intercede through us? with these groans and utterings. And really, we're not going to get into the whole question of like, what is that, right, today? I'm sure different people have various opinions in the house. That's not the purpose. The purpose is your life so tight with the Holy Spirit that when you're facing a situation, you can say, Holy Spirit, show me how to pray. And whether he gives you a language to pray or whether it's English to pray, that you can trust what he's sharing with you, or Chinese or Russian or, I don't know, Tagalog, right? If you, tangent, not going there. Now, I heard a great story yesterday, but I'm going to let him share. He's going to come in August and share. The key is, do you trust the Holy Spirit? Do you trust what he's highlighting? Are you familiar enough with the Word of God? Are you saturated with the Word so that when the Holy Spirit comes, that what you're hearing, you can know that it matches up with the Word of God? Right? Or is it unfamiliar territory so that you're really guessing, like, I don't know, is this God? Is this not God? Could this possibly be his will or not? Like, there's a sense of knowing the Spirit. Ephesians 6:18 says it this way. It says, with every prayer and request, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be alert with all perseverance at every request for all the saints. Pray at all times in the Spirit. So you should never have a prayer that's outside of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. He's with you. He's for you. And he knows the will of God. And the goodness of God is he shares it with us so we can partner with him. We're going to add one key. So far we have six keys to living by the Spirit or walking in the Spirit. And we're going to close with this today, with this key. It's to lean into the Spirit to guide you into the will of God and to pray in the Spirit at all times. So when you're uncertain about how to move forward in an area of your life, will you lean into the Holy Spirit so that he'll guide you to know how to continue moving? Or when you're contending for a person or a business or a region, a circumstance or any situation, right? Contending for anything. Will you lean into the Holy Spirit and trust what he shares with you so you know how to move forward or how to pray? The other I put was when you're exploring the past, like sometimes we have issues from our past. When you want to go there and say, God, is there anything you want to highlight about this? Will you lean into the Holy Spirit or with your present or your future? Like, what does God have for me? I don't know what God's going to do. Will you lean into the Holy Spirit and just listen? Allow him to groan through you. Allow him to move you. Sometimes you can just be still with the Holy Spirit and you might feel an impression or just a sense of his presence. And then it's seemingly like, wow, the next moment you have a sense of wisdom of knowing what to do. Like, you never heard anything. You just felt his presence. And then it was like, aha, I know that's what I'm supposed to do. It's just staying close to the Holy Spirit. So I don't want to say this is how the Holy Spirit has to speak. I'm going to let him do that job. Our job is, will we stay close no matter what we're facing, trusting that he can guide us into the will of the Father? That's his heart. So I'll say it one last time. Key number 7, lean into the Spirit to guide you into the will of God and pray in the Spirit at all times. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. Thank you that I thank you that you came. I thank you that Jesus went to sit at the right hand of the Father, and in the process it afforded you to be able to come. And all that you bring us, right? You lead us into all truth. You give us wisdom. You give us comfort. And then in this sense, you lead us into the will of God. You intercede on our behalf. You testify about us that we're children of God and co-heirs with Christ. I'm going to trust your testimony. I'm going to trust what you're testifying about me more than I'm going to listen to the lies of the enemy or the accusations of man. I want your opinion. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would give the people of grace and anybody who's visiting today just that divine empowerment to step into this truth more and more. Yeah, that we would recognize your hand in our lives. We would recognize that you're the one that leads us into a greater measure of love, joy, peace, hope, life. And you're also the one that allows us to go through any suffering or persecution that we experience as a result of identifying with Jesus. And we thank you that you're with us, you're for us, we can rest in that. You're the one that gives us the strength to be able to continue moving forward. And then we just give you glory and thanks for revealing the will of the Father to us. That in any situation we're facing, we can ask you for wisdom. We can ask you, how should we pray? And you'll reveal us, you'll show us what that looks like. And we can partner with you. Thanks that you're not hard to connect with. You're actually pressing in more for us than we are to you. And I pray that you would continue to give us a hunger and thirst for more of your presence. Because we just want to glorify Jesus. We want to glorify the Father. And we want to step into a greater measure of what we were created for. We want to see your kingdom advanced here on earth as it is in heaven. And so we say, come, Holy Spirit, move in us. Do in us what we could never do on our own. And we just ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.